All right, I'm going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. Do a quick roll call. Start with you.
Lisa Hummel.
James Wilkie.
Sue Schmaltz.
Amy Gascon.
Patrick Fox.
Linda Gould Taylor.
Hey, thanks, Linda. We have a quorum, so we can get started. The approval of the agenda. Is there anything that we want to move in terms of order? Yeah, we'll still leave it on there.
Right.
I don't know if he left notes for anybody, but okay. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
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 It's unanimous. We've also got minutes attached from the last meeting. Are there any amendments that we need to make to the minutes from the last meeting?
Two amendments. One, the very part at the top, the date is incorrect. It references today's meeting, but these are clearly the minutes from last time's meeting.
Good idea.
Gotcha. And secondly, it says that I was in attendance, but I wasn't. Can't validate anything else that was in here as I wasn't there, but.
Oh, and there was one little thing I saw when I looked this over earlier. Ruth Park Woods does not have a whole vehicle. It has a partial vehicle.
I didn't see
it. It says an abandoned vehicle. It's not really a whole vehicle. It's about maybe a fifth of a vehicle.
Okay, so how am I writing it?
Oh, so I would say,
partial.
This
partial vehicle.
Pieces of a car.
There you go.
So I'm going to say partial.
Pieces of an old car. And by the way, it's still there.
With those three changes, do we have a motion to approve the minutes from last meeting?
So moved.
Second.
All right, all those in favor say aye.
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 All right, so we're going to go ahead and go to, in no particular order, we've got citizen participation. Just so you all know, we're going to limit citizen participation to 5 minutes apiece. And I've got a clock. I'll let you finish your thought, though. So. Yes, do you want us to go first? It's up to you.
We're together, so.
Oh, well, good.
My name's Phil Beast, and I'm trustee in Altadena. And this year, 2023, is our centennial year. And we're requesting the city to allow us to put a monument sign, for lack of a better term, but that's what they are. Altadena neighborhood, you know, established 1923. The request is for the Pershing Avenue right of way, which happens to be part of the park system. So therefore, we need parks approval for installing the sign.
Any other thoughts, Chris? Want to add?
Yeah, I know. Last time, I think he said he would have it for this meeting, but Darren. Was creating a, I guess, policy on erecting monument signs in parks. And so it meets a more general criteria of, you know, memorials and so forth. And I understand that. But we are under a timetable to try to get this sign erected within the centennial year. And so we're just asking for permission to put it up in Pershing right away. And Dale Signs has created some drawings, and we checked utilities and so forth. So
Pershing and what, like near what?
Altadena
Court.
So in between, so Hanley and Jackson are our boundaries, and Altadena is the center.
Got it.
I think, as Patrick was explaining earlier, because it's not technically on the agenda, it's not something that we can take a vote on tonight.
Right.
It was something that was discussed at the last meeting, and some of those thoughts are in the minutes from the last meeting. Okay, so a few more minutes. Anything else you want to talk about tonight?
I just take one topic at a time. So.
Sounds good.
So, just to give it some context, so we've accumulated funds, volunteer funds, from our homeowners. We've accumulated about $8,000 plus over the last 3 years. This started back in 2021. The trustee on our part that was doing this transferred a year ago to out of country, and Sinon, who was Public Works, they were communicating, so it was kind of going through that channel. Had never heard anything about the parks. I don't know if Sinon knew or not, but, you know, so we started a year ago. It's not really frustrating. I get a deal with the cities, but we're just trying to get the ball rolling now because we've got a lot of homeowners that have contributed some dollars, and you know, whether this gets installed 2023, you know, I'd rather get it done right. I'd just like to get some, you know, so we understand where the utilities are, we understand what the limits are, what we're dealing with, you know, some design. We've got some historical material to use from you know, 1923 area. So, you know, we think we've got something that's historical and fits the neighborhood. Whatever we need to do to help the Parks Commission resolve that, let us know.
So, did you just say we can't vote on it tonight?
We cannot, because it's not technically on the agenda. So, but we
can't. And the policy is not written.
The policy is not written.
Right.
And I think we hear you. I don't think any of us want to belabor this. So we can communicate to Mr. Dunkel perhaps our desire for it to be on next month's agenda, if that still is reasonable within your time frame that you have to work with. Understanding that even after it is approved, it's still there would still be designed a mechanism by which you request it. So it doesn't mean the day after that it can happen. I want to be realistic in providing a fair and reasonable timeline to you all, because you have been patient with us. So I think it's fair for us to say at an appropriate time, we will communicate that that is something we would like to see on the agenda so that action can be taken.
If it falls within the guidelines of the policy.
The policy is presented to us
right.
So that they know what they have to adhere
right.
to.
Right.
So I have talked to City Council about this,
mm-hmm.
and I believe I have support. They're saying the same thing. There's got to be a policy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, who's the parks? They look at your prerogative to set the, I mean, that's the
right.
for mm-hmm. the policy. So, you know, I guess my next question is, do I have to request to be on next month's agenda?
No, we can decide what's on our agenda.
We will communicate our desire for the policy to be presented to us for consideration at next month.
But I think we can also put this particular thing on the agenda and decide next month whether Darren's had time to fully write the policy or not. We can say, you know, that we would recommend, or we could vote to recommend or not recommend, you know, our support for this project contingent upon it coming through as being, you know, within the guidelines of the policy when it is finished. We could do
that. That doesn't help them figure out what the policy is because we
still have to
vote.
No, but it means they don't have to wait another month for us to vote for it again.
So what I would say is, we'll put both issues on the agenda if we can.
Yeah.
If you can just communicate that to Mr. Dunkel for next meeting.
So whether he has it or not.
So
we can decide if we like the idea or not, I'm saying, for them to be
so
able to do it.
So we're looking at the process more than the actual item.
Well, I think it sounds like you want to put both the item and the process on for the next.
I think
agenda.
So, because then they don't have to keep
but
coming back and asking us
to
get
the actual.
Well, I was
going
to say, we have to approve the item, or we just have to approve
yeah.
the policy, and then they go through the process.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought we were being asked to give our approval of the project itself.
But
like,
it could also be where you might have to do both.
So
based on, you got to see what the policy is going to say, because it may be where. Whoever wants to do a monument, if it's going in a park or wherever a park is, that park commission has to approve it or recommend it. It's kind of like arts and letters.
Let me say this. What we will do is we'll ask him to put first on the agenda a policy for monument signage in University City parks. And if said policy includes us approving each monument sign, ensuring you all are on the agenda. If the policy that we vote on is just this is for everyone, then it doesn't need to happen. But either way, I want next month to be the month in which you all have a roadmap for what you do. Is that fair to say?
Oh, absolutely.
And I do not think it requires any council approval. So once we establish that, it should be just fine. So no other
policy has to be approved.
The policy has to be approved by the council.
Yes.
We just make our recommendation as the commission.
Great. So we will take that into consideration. I go to every council meeting as well. And I will perhaps consider then to make a motion to suspend the rules to move it forward in the process more than the 3 weeks required for the first and the second and third reading of it. That's something I think we could ask for them to do in consideration of your patience, if that's fair. So you don't have to wait for 3 more weeks of council.
It's better than 3 months.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. You're welcome to stick around and learn how city government works, but also understand you have valuable time and other things to do.
I'm retired.
Oh, well, good. Perfect.
Chris is like, I'm not. I was going to say.
Yeah.
We've got the department reports to Darren Lee with notes to talk about. All right.
Great.
Sounds good. Let's
move
on
to
council liaison report.
Not here.
Okay, let's move on to commission members' park inspections reports.
The dog park now has water. It's been turned on for the season. That is all I have to say.
Hey, there's water.
Is it still got the orange netting stuff up?
On the small side it does, and it's kind of short up on the back. I understand that is a project awaiting approval from our friends with FEMA.
Okay. Just wondering.
Yep.
I'll report out the same items I've reported other months. Neither of the fountains in Lewis Park are working. There's also some very large tree limbs down in Lewis Park that have not been removed since.
A year.
Been
down for a while.
The limbs are just sitting there in the park.
Well, I mean, over the side of the steps, so they're not like in the way. But
okay, no fountains working and tree limbs still down Lewis Park.
Yeah, by the steps that come down from Delmar. The limbs have been there probably since the flooding.
By steps. Limbs or fountain?
The limbs are by the steps, and both of the fountains are broken.
Okay. Both. I don't usually do this. We have secretaries in mind. Okay. Limbs are by steps. Okay.
So do you want to talk about Heyman or Ruth Park?
Well, Ruth Park, they got water too. They just turned water on over there. They built on the ninth hole a great new flower bed.
Water.
And they've opened a new tee on the ninth hole. Driving range opened Monday. It still hasn't, to my knowledge, unless Linda knows more than I do, but I have not noticed any regrading or seeding or anything, but it did open up on Monday. And it still looks like it looked before all the work. Yeah, they were blowing the water lines this morning over there. And Kaufman looks fine. Socially over at Ruth Park, the manager over there had a new baby boy. His wife did on Sunday night.
Jax.
And they're training new people at the desk, some nice senior-type people. And my only request would be, having played on Friday afternoon, which is never a good time to play, they really need take another look at having some marshals out there, especially at peak time. And I think Travis can tell you when those are. Your data should be able to indicate. You know, if we can't get some marshals, that's one thing, but that never used to be a problem. But, I mean, there are people all over the darn course on Friday afternoon. I usually don't play weekends and Friday for that reason. But they could, on the heavy usage, good weather, they could use some marshals. Coffin's good.
One thing I do want to report on the department, one, because you don't normally get recreation, we've closed our Red Bull Rookie registration. We ended up with 160 kids registered for Red Bull Rookies. Our coaches meeting, as well as our parent participant pep rally, will be this Saturday And we look to start the season probably sometime next week.
Nice.
Yeah.
How is the monthly membership option going?
It's going.
Okay.
I think, you know, people like it better than having to pay every time they come in.
Okay, perfect.
But yeah.
Good.
So Hinton Park, the smaller fields all look pretty good. On the Olive side of the park, those three, they seem to have recovered.
I don't know if they've finished one yet.
Is one still? They've been going out there with the
They've been going out there.
Tools.
Yeah, and they're getting heavy play from people who aren't.
The kickball people?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, they're getting very heavy play. But I have not rented one because they have not given me the go-ahead.
Okay.
And it's in Six and Heeman, Jack Buck are still.
The other thing is that whenever the basketball court project goes forward, the creek back there experienced even more washout than it had been starting before, next to the bridge. But it's like 3 or 4 feet away from the fence line, closer to the basketball court now.
Email me that.
I will. Okay. I'll show the picture. It looks
Email me
dangerous.
That. Email me that.
Okay. But that was the only thing I noticed about parks.
Mm-hmm. So I did an extensive inspection of Ruth Park Woods over the weekend because a bunch of us were there for the ribbon cutting, and it was the kickoff for the centennial of the park, so it was pretty cool. And you were there. Did anybody else show up?
I walked by on the golf course.
And it's looking really good. There's been a lot of volunteers working in that woods, like, very regularly. And we kind of did a tour with the guy that's in charge. What's his name? I can't remember his name. Well, if you don't know.
Yeah,
anyway,
I was at the front.
He was showing us where they've worked and where they haven't worked yet, and the differences start, you know. You can see where they pulled out the invasive plants.
Jesse.
There are some, yeah.
Jesse.
Thank you. There are some, some native plants coming up again, and then they've also planted a lot of little trees, of native trees, like serviceberry and some things like that. So it was really interesting. It was a little bit muddy, but they're getting the community involved in that park. And there was one lady walking along. She didn't really have the right shoes. I'm thinking she didn't know what she was getting for. And I talked to her a little bit. I was like, "Have you ever been in my car before?" She said, "No." And she's like, "I didn't even know this was here." And then at the end of the walk, I said, "So you got a new place to walk?" And she's like, "Nope." I'm gonna walk on this sidewalk, and I'm gonna walk on the indoor track. But it was funny. But yeah, brought a lot of people out from the community, so that was really nice. And the park looks good, except there's still pieces of a car, which is really trashy and gross. And I've been talking about it for the last 2 months at least now, since I first saw it. And they need to remove that because that doesn't belong there.
And it's in the woods.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've explained before where it is.
Okay.
But it's big chunks of metal. Steve saw it. Steve McMahon was with me, who's not here tonight, and he said it. They don't remember, he's going to polish it up and put my name on it. it's like some kind of memorial to me because I found it. So that was Ruth Park Woods. Oh, thank you. And I went over to Raby Park. It looked good, except for the water fountain isn't working. And it used to work a few years ago when I started going there. So I think it's just maybe turned off. And then went to Miller Park. I still have concerns about Miller Park. I don't think it's anything new. The path, it's actually, and I'm going to say this every time until they fix it, it's dangerous because there is a distance of maybe this much between the top of the path and the edge of the ground on the side of it, on a lot of places on that path due to erosion. And if you go over there, it's a well-used path. There are people walking their dogs. There are people walking together. There are people passing each other up. There are elderly people walking along there. And somebody's going to trip. They're going to be talking on their phone, walking their dog, talking to their friend, and they're going to slide off there, and they're going to injure themselves because it's just not safe. And right now, there are places where there's a drop-off, but you can't really see it because there's little weeds, little violets growing up along there, but that drop-off is still there, and they need to fix it. I don't care if it's temporary. Somebody's going to get hurt, and the city's going to get sued, rightfully so. So that I'm still concerned about. And then there is a piece of concrete on one of the, I think it's because of that there's nothing supporting it, that there's a chunk of concrete, it's maybe about this big, that has kind of broken off the corner of one of those pieces of the path, and it's broken, and somebody's going to trip over it. So those things are still going on. It was there are a lot of people in the park today, and bathrooms are open again, which is nice. Well, I didn't go in the men's bathroom, but the women's bathroom, there's no soap, and the hand dryer doesn't work, so there's just a little bit of water. You got a lot of kids there playing. You got a lot of people there having, you know, as soon as it's going to get warm, they're going to be having picnics there. People would like to be able to wash their hands. There's a nice sturdy soap dispenser. There should be soap in it for people to use.
You said soap and something else.
The hand dryer doesn't work.
Hand dryer.
Didn't seem to be working.
Miller Park.
And I pressed the button for a long time, and the water wasn't coming out of either of the drinking fountains, the one by the playground, and then there's another one, and neither one was coming up. Other than that, the park looks lovely, well-used, and I personally don't know what to look for if I'm looking at the baseball field. So if somebody's concerned about the baseball fields over there, they need to know about baseball, they're welcome to go over there and look, because it looked good to me. I don't know. It looked like a baseball field.
Is there a bunch of leaves up against the fence? That was a big problem.
I didn't notice. I didn't see that. I don't think so. So,
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Who organized the volunteers that were doing work in the roof of Park Woods?
I think Jesse started it, didn't he? And
the,
then
there is
Judy Prangy.
It's the committee. City and Bloom.
City and Bloom. But also the Green Center people. And there were even some middle school kids that came over recently and put down some mulch, because I think in preparation for the event. And there were some scouts that did some work over there. They built the bridge. It was an Eagle Scout project. So a lot of people from the community are volunteering in that park. But I think it's primarily
organized
by UCD and Bloom.
And the Native Plant Ladies. That has a subgroup. Yeah, I think they may have even, they got grant money for the trees. I thought maybe you know more than I do.
I don't know.
But a lot of the trees are covered by some grant money that I think the Native Plant Ladies were involved with.
There were two people from the Audubon Society there, too, because that first part of the trail isn't technically part of Ruth Park Woods.
Yeah.
It goes around the side of the golf course. It connects up. It's a bird corridor trail, and so they were talking about the birds in there. So,
is there a way for us as a commission member, or just in general, like, is there a maintenance schedule for the parks? And I ask because, like, I walk through Lewis Park often, and the trash for where people put their dog poop is overflowing all the time. And so I don't know, like, is there an interval that it's like, oh, they come every day and empty it? Should I be reporting this when I see it? Like, I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out is, like, when we see maintenance-type issues, I don't need to email Darren every time the trash is overflowing if I know that someone's coming the next day. But I don't know what the schedule
is. The answer is there is a schedule. I can't always say that it's adhered to, depending on staffing at that particular moment.
Well, so maybe it would be good to email them if it's really overflowing, because maybe it means they didn't come that week or something.
Well, then that's another question. It's just like general maintenance of the parks. Are we short-staffed for maintenance of the parks? Are we, as commission members or community members, allowed to get groups of people together to help maintain the parks? Is this shunned upon? What is...
No, I'm sure that anything that can be done to help, so long as it's not building things, which requires, as you can see, a policy that we don't have in place yet.
Yeah.
But no, volunteers would be great. You just have to run it by, I mean, like, for instance, in Lewis Park, that honeysuckle's got to go. It's encroaching. I mean, it's going to reach Del Mar in 2 years. So, yeah, there's projects like that that have been done over the years.
And it's a lab.
It is a lab.
Organized group of people.
Well, if you're talking about honeysuckle removal, yeah, our staff doesn't have time to do honeysuckle removal. That's a volunteer.
And who do we coordinate that with, Darren, if we want to organize
it? I would say that it possibly be mentioned in one of your meetings, or reach out to him. You know, we'd like to get a group of neighbors together to do. I mean, because they've done it. I know here at the River de Pere, or they've done it, you know, in other places, and it was a group that wasn't staff. And in regards to staff, I mean, they're, you know, still limited.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because of with equipment and things of that nature. So I think anything that volunteers and neighbors could do would be greatly appreciated. I would just definitely run it by him first. Yeah.
Just don't be like Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, fill the potholes in front of your house. Any other park reports?
I think I got everybody.
On some status and some things.
It would normally come during the department report, that would be, but you can also go during commission comments. Okay. I don't know if Linda's going to know the answer to the questions necessarily, but she might.
I don't think so either.
Well, you know, that's according to what it is.
Yeah.
Right.
She knows a lot.
Heads up for some of the commission members. You may hear there's a group interested in youth kickball. Have you heard of that one, Linda?
No.
Okay, you may hear that within the next month or so. That appears to be a sport taking off in a couple of the other communities, and U City's got at least one person that's trying to organize some youth kickball.
Who's the person?
I have to ask my son.
Oh, because they've not reached out.
No, they haven't.
Yeah.
I'm just putting the heads up that that's like we talked pickleball for a long time.
Mm.
Now we're probably going to step into some of the kickball because most children can do that and they enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So kickball's a heads up. As usual, what's the status of the pickleball lines? I like asking that. I've been doing it for 2 years now. It's my favorite question to ask. Do we know anything about pickleball lines? Not a thing.
I don't know.
I know.
Yeah.
That's why I was asking.
Well, the minutes from last time said that it was underway.
Yeah.
It was up to bid.
Yeah.
Ben.
The minutes say that he reported that the staff is currently working with contractors regarding the placement of the lines. So I guess that could mean that they were talking to contractors to get.
There was some concern also, if I recall, about the pickle lines being obtrusive for tennis players as well. Does that ring a bell?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I brought that up more than once.
That comes up all the time. That's regular.
Yeah. And there's no way that they could both happily live together.
No, they're not the same.
Well, they go to a different court.
They're
that's why we were splitting them up.
Right, that's why we weren't doing every single court.
Yeah.
Right.
I think we're going to get an update on pickleball next meeting.
Okay. That was a question which you have to. Carl's not here to bring up the signs for Flynn Park.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a shame because he loves that one too for a couple of years.
And
what's the status of mulch, is my other question. Are we doing any mulch for the citizens anymore here?
I don't think so. I don't think I don't think they're delivering any longer.
We had some for a while, and we didn't have some.
And then it's probably it's dump trucks is down. I don't think they're doing.
I've had some people said, "Wait, we had like an 18-wheeler load of it, and then it was gone."
Yeah, I don't think that they're. You as an individual, I believe, can go, but I don't think the city is doing that any longer, delivering it.
Oh, not delivering. I'm just wondering, are we have a new dumping schedule like we used to?
You're talking about putting it in Heeman Park so you can come get it.
Yeah.
Oh.
But there's a bunch of mulch over in Heeman Park Woods, so I imagine all they got to do is take it from there over to Heeman.
That was the normal thing, is where they turn it and everything is over in the Ruth Park Woods.
That's a big deal.
And they would load a truck once in a while, as Linda knows, and go dump it at Heeman for the resident users.
But I also think that they may not have the vehicles to be able to do that right now because of the flooding.
Well, they did it for a while. Now it's all dried up again.
Is that Public Works or Parks?
Parks,
I want to say it's Parks.
It. Okay. Just curious.
Yeah.
It's going to be a pickup point for seniors, and I hate for that to disappear.
Unfinished business, the Park Centennial update. Lisa mentioned this. We had our kickoff celebration this weekend on Sunday over at Ruth Park Woods. It was cold, but pretty well attended, honestly. We had a bunch of teenage volunteers from the high school. Mr. Blumenhorst, want a big, big thank you to him for organizing the volunteer students that came along and kind of just monitored the trail for the couple hours we were out there. We've got a Father's Day event, I think, planned. We do have some activities going on with the Mannequin in Loop event that happens in May. We are not part of the 420 event in the Loop this weekend, unfortunately, but I encourage everybody to go down to the Loop this weekend. It will be a trip in more way than one.
You didn't mention the park dedication.
Park dedication, I forgot. You're absolutely correct. Shelley Welch Park is being dedicated next month.
On the 20th.
On May 20th?
I believe the 20th. It's kids in honor of Kids in the Parks Day.
Yep, Kids in the Parks Day is happening at the same time, and
what park was that before? They're calling it
Shelley
Welch? Was it Kingsland Park?
Kingsland.
The one, yeah.
Yeah. And is that Kingsland top and top. Olive, that next street north right. of Olive right there? Yeah.
The top lot. That's what we used to call it.
And there'll be a tree planting.
We used to call it the top lot.
The top lot.
Back in the day.
But there'll be tree planting going on.
Sign dedication.
Sign dedication. Mm-hmm. I will give a 30-second speech about the park. So please, council members and commission members, please come be a part of that process if you could. Any other questions about the park centennial?
Is there overall a schedule for everything happening somewhere?
Yes, and if you look at the
website. We got that on the distribution.
Yeah, there was a website. Everything should be up on the website now.
What website?
Yeah. The parks website, or the centennial website.
So is that separate from the city's park website?
Correct, yeah. This is just for the centennial. And here we go. Parks 100 webpage.
Parks 100 is what it's called?
Correct.
New City Parks 100.
Yeah, University City Parks celebrate 100 years. And I believe that at the bottom it has the upcoming events, and it also has a YouTube video that was put together sort of introducing it, and there'll be some more uploads here, including the flyover of Ruth Park Woods that just happened not too long ago, which is a pretty cool video. Yep, using a drone.
That's cool. I didn't think it was an airplane. That would
have been a really
short quick
video.
Maybe a helicopter.
So let's wait a second for Lynn to come back in so we can do your part next.
I said we should go to the restroom.
Thank you.
Which she's allowed
thank
to
you.
Do.
We're going to take you off.
Thank
the break.
You.
Appreciate it.
So, thank you. For timeline purposes, the meeting after our next meeting, the first city council meeting, is May 22nd. So,
you usually meet here or?
No,
that's the city council.
We usually meet, though,
yeah.
over at the community center.
We will meet on the 16th. The city council meeting to first consider our recommendation would be the 22nd. Then they're not meeting for 3 weeks, so I'm going to see what I can do to talk to council about moving it further along in the agenda on the 22nd.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Appreciate it.
Well, that's recording. Let's go ahead and get started. Comprehensive plan presentation. Take it away.
Thank you. So I am Mary Kennedy. I'm a city planner for U City. And I don't know if you all have heard, but the city is going through a comprehensive planning process right now that started in September. And that work is building off of previous planning processes, the 2040 vision, which happened last summer, all other previous plans as well, but that one is a huge foundation for us. So we're really trying to move that vision forward and create a plan that guides how land will be used in the city over the next 10 to 20 years, and what qualities we want, you know, new development or redevelopment to take. We wanted to come to all of the commissions and give an update on where we're at, and then ask for your input as well. We're kind of in our first round of engagement, and we'll be forming draft recommendations in May and June, and then we'll be coming back out for input broadly with the community, but also to each commission to get feedback on the specific recommendations. But right now, we so far have about 450 people who have participated via workshops, surveys, both paper and online surveys, and then we also have some like pop-up events at various events. And so that's kind of where we're at. And there are some maps in the packet that you have. I don't want to spend a ton of time on those. There are some draft goal statements that are very broad and aspirational, and those are kind of like the pillars that we'll guide the plan, and then within each of those goals, there will be specific objectives and then action items. And then we're starting to put together a draft framework map that will kind of identify some areas to focus on in the comprehensive plan. And so those are identified in that map. And I can walk through any of those if you're interested, but I kind of want to get to two questions that we have for you all. So the first one is talking about new green space. So the comprehensive plan could recommend new green space to be introduced within the flood mitigation area in lieu of encouraging new development, which would be vulnerable to flooding. This green space could serve as an amenity, have environmental benefits such as stormwater management, and help restore natural ecosystems and habitat. So if green space is developed in the floodplain, how could it best support the city's sustainability goals? And kind of what are your thoughts in general about the idea of creating new green space specifically within the floodplain?
Well, my first idea is how would you do that with whatever is there already?
Yeah. Well, if there's vacant land in the floodplain, that. But then also, the city is working to buy properties that were most heavily damaged from the flood. So spaces where that's happening, where those structures would be removed.
So like on Miller, not Miller, Wilson.
Like Wilson, yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, there's great money, correct? Because the Mississippi River does this all the way north. Minneapolis, they have parks that are flood-prone parks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming you're all aware of that. Is,
mm-hmm.
There's federal grant money available to make them into parks.
Yeah.
I think this overlays a lot with what you were talking to the Third Ward Housing and Revitalization yesterday
yeah.
about, because there's some interest in acquiring vacant properties from the county. So they're exploring that. But the question then becomes, if it is in a flood mitigation area, is that something we want to designate as a park? Because the biggest question to determine that is going to be scale, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it's a house or what was a piece of property that once had a house on it,
mm-hmm.
know that we need a whole park in that area. But if there's a block, that might be a different consideration, right? But I guess I would say we have to wait and see what the outcome of that is
mm-hmm.
in the work with the county in acquiring those properties that ultimately the city is apparently responsible for maintaining for some very peculiar reason, even though we don't own them, right? Is that, I think that's what they alluded to last night. So.
Okay.
If the Third Ward revitalization involves acquiring a swath of property, we may want to see about potentially thinking about green space for them, I guess.
Okay. I mean, the question sort of suggests that possibly, rather than putting in green space, you could potentially rezone it to have some type of flood-resistant structures that would go in instead?
Right.
Is that the concept behind it?
Right, yeah. And that might be appropriate in certain areas, but kind of what we understand is that, if possible, the city should avoid new development, new structures within the 100-year floodplain completely, because those structures, any obstruction to the water flow makes the flood worse. So we're not necessarily recommending new development in the floodplain, but like, should it be a priority to create new green space in areas where new development can't occur because of flood issues?
Well, I guess maybe what he's getting at, though, is as opposed to what? I mean, if it's not going to be developed, isn't it kind of just green space by default?
And then who maintains it's the bigger question.
Right.
Well, I think part of that, too, is who owns it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe what would I like this on the map that you have in a draft conceptual framework where it has the flood mitigation areas, mm-hmm. perhaps that can be overlaid with the property. I mean, I know county GIS can do some amazing things
mm-hmm.
if you ask the right people at the right time. But if they could overlay those vacant properties that are under consideration with that, that might help us see, and, you know, scale and impact potentially.
Because the other thing, too, is, I mean, park land belongs to the city of the University City. Mm-hmm. That's within our purview. And so if it's not technically U City's property, but actually belongs to the county or belongs to, I don't even know who else would buy up. MSD may condemn some of this, maybe, but I don't know that they own.
I think there's a particularly in the third ward, if I heard correctly, there's a lot of interest from developers, and it just so happens that a lot of the floodplain is in the third ward as well.
Doesn't just so happen.
Well,
there's a lot of historical essence for us. Yes.
Yeah. I'd love to see what that looks like, because I think what you're saying is green space versus a park. That's two different things. It can be green space and not a park. It can be green space and a park. But it's a great question. I think we'll have to liaise with them on the development goals with it, because we don't want to have competing interests with two different messages mm-hmm. as to what people on various want to happen.
Well, and that's the goal of doing these updates, because, you know, the Stormwater Commission has goals. The Parks Commission has goals. The Housing and Third Ward Task Force has potentially quite different goals, you know, from those two. So that's what we're hoping to do with this plan, is bring what we hear from everyone and kind of have a complete picture.
Well, I would throw in this thought, too. If it's a choice between green space that's not a park and green space that is a park, we just took on one new park, which was the dog park. As a city, we decided that was going to be a park, like a couple years ago, maybe?
Four.
Okay.
3-4 years.
And obviously we're having trouble maintaining it right now because of the flooding. So I think we need to be careful about taking on more and more parks as parks,
yes.
because once we take it on as a park, we're responsible for maintaining it and enhancing it and doing all those things. And is that something that we have the
sure.
budget to do?
But
it's always a consideration.
My preference would be that if U City itself is going to own that land, that it does make sense then to find ways to integrate park space within it.
Of course,
knowing that that is going to be an issue.
Thinking about Wilson Avenue. I mean, that's essentially a park. People go over there, they want their dogs, there's a bench, they put up artwork over there at different times, you know. And when it floods, there's a duck pond. The ducks love it. The Tweenos house is there. So it's essentially a park anyway, but
we're not obligated
to take
to
care of it.
Right,
as the park department, we're not.
That's what I'm
right.
saying.
The city is.
So it still is, it's meeting a need, though, in a lot of ways.
Well, I can tell Lisa. If this is a priority of the city, I guess I would make an assumption that if you're going to give us more parks as a result of this process, that you're going to give us money to maintain those parks too. But maybe that's a horrible assumption.
I'm just bringing it up because
no, I mean,
it
that's what
be
I mean. Like, it's a really good point.
Yeah,
like,
you're going
to
have more
if
parks.
If we're going
to
get more parks and have the same budget, then they're all
yeah.
just going to be maintained.
Who's maintaining it? Yeah,
they're
yeah,
all
if the city.
Well,
and the crazy is, you got to stop to think. Even if it's not a park, I think our guys still have to cut it.
Well,
yeah.
Correct.
That's
so,
true. If it's public land.
In which
yeah.
case, you actually
right.
want some oversight by a commission.
Which they do in that, along Wilson
right.
Avenue, again, where
right.
they bought, I don't know if you know where they bought.
And
like,
even the
stuff.
Little
yeah, yeah.
here at Purdue, there used to be a parking lot. Now
yeah.
it's
next
right.
to the
yeah.
U-Haul?
Right.
Where the art is.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Behind
you,
Jackson
no,
Stadium.
Right here.
Okay, yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, right
That was
here.
A big parking lot for
it
you.
It was a big parking lot.
Okay.
And now it's
a field.
A
we
field.
Should we should consider
is that part of the park
restoration?
It wasn't.
Okay, I'm
I mean,
sorry.
Like I said, I probably bottom line they probably cut it anyway.
I will say
because they're not gonna let the grass grow tall.
There are a lot of strong feelings about the dog park from dog park owners, and I will filter them to the best of my ability. Before passing along, But I think your point about bringing on more parks without the capacity for or the desire to invest more in them is very appropriate.
Well, it's like, don't have another baby if you can't take care of the kids you've already got.
The reason I say that is because a fairly significant sum of money came along with that from them, and there has been nothing to show for it from the parks, the darn park people's perspective. Just say that. So, if even with an influx of potential funds, you still can't do it, then perhaps taking on something without said influx is appropriate. But if the desire is to maintain land so that it's not gobbled up by developers or things are built there that aren't sustainable, mm-hmm. okay, mm-hmm. do we have the resources to maintain that, right?
Yeah.
It costs the city the same to mow it if it's park or not.
Yeah, but it's just some department has to be in charge of doing it. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. I just had a quick question about this first map. I see Ruth Park Golf Course, but I don't see Ruth Park Woods at all on there. Because that's a big park that we have. It borders Ruth Park Woods, so maybe it's all there.
It might just be part of that.
I think it's a tour.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that
it's all part.
I think it's all in that same shape.
Oh,
because
it does go to Olive there, doesn't it? Yeah. Okay, now I see that.
Well, that's I don't know. Is that Olive or is that the river?
It says Olive.
Well,
it looks like it stops just short of Olive.
Oh, I think you're right. That's not Olive. It just says Olive.
It says
yeah,
Olive.
So maybe
that's the river. I think it includes
you're
it because
right.
the park does go. The woods do go right up to the river, but not on the other side. Of
that's
the river.
True.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
just
it's
saw
just
that and
labeled
I that was
a
right.
little. Yeah.
Because it doesn't cross Olive. If you look on the upper left corner.
You're right.
I know that it doesn't cross Olive. Right.
Right. Yeah. It goes up to the back of those businesses.
Yeah.
So that's both.
Yeah.
So it sounds like we need more input from the other commissions. I mean, I know that they are still debating at the water task force about what they can realistically pay for at this point and then take over. So,
I mean, anything we can do to combat flooding is certainly worth pursuing. You know, if we can do things for the land that are going to keep the floods from causing as much damage, mm-hmm. and we can afford it, we should definitely do it. So.
What I think might be helpful is when you have the results of this, and you obviously are going to share them, that's quite clear you are wanting to disseminate, perhaps it might make sense to bring together key stakeholders where there is an overlap in interest to determine a singular strategy. So that might be a bigger meeting than just you coming to all the others and reporting out, because I think it might be helpful to get the people that have that same desire and those different points of view together.
Yeah.
What do you mean by community gateways? Is that just where it connects up?
Well,
those are kind of...
Street where it connects up?
Yeah, and those are, I think those are an idea from the economic development plan, but they're kind of like welcome points to the city. So if you're driving into the city, there might be like some kind of signage that identifies other than the city limits sign, you know,
yeah.
the little green one, something that's a little bit more, has an identity, kind of welcomes you.
I want to make sure before we go forward, we answer question number two, which is on this other park access form, if that's fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what that map with the radiuses, radii, are for. So when looking at the half mile and quarter mile service areas, most residents can access UCity parks. But the 2008 parks plan the most recent plan? Okay. The 2008 plan stated that in the east part of the city, the parks are smaller, reflecting the difficulty of acquiring parkland after an area was already developed. There are also areas of the city which are not serviced by certain types of parks at all. So is that still the case, and what specific types of parks are less accessible and do you think may be desirable in the east or elsewhere? And I guess this kind of ties into what we were just talking about. It may or may not be
this commission's interest or the parks department's interest in creating new park space. So maybe this question we've kind of already discussed a little bit.
I mean, short of any of the those that might be in the flood mitigation area, there are a park to be established there. I don't know what we can do.
Well, because I mean, the biggest piece of green space currently is between Vernon and Olive, and I believe Wash U owns that.
Well,
they are going to keep it fallow for as long as they can.
For what purpose?
They own it.
I believe Wash U owns that spot now. Am I wrong about that?
I think you're right.
Between Vernon and Olive, there's so where the old Black Rep building is that's now getting torn down to make way for Crescent Plumbing.
Right.
There's green space that goes.
I think Wash U owns
it.
So across from like University City Children's Center and all that?
Where the Pete's used to be.
Across the street from.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They got
on the other side.
They sold that. I think they sold that to Crescent Plumbing. That
yeah.
would be developed.
They're
the
doing
one
all
corner
them.
Was, yeah, but there's still like a whole other.
That green space is also
there's
part
another,
of that.
Okay,
they have a building there, though. It's still there.
The green space and
the Wash U building for their...
Oh, that little small building that was next to the fire department.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, just that is sort of an example is developers or other places like Wash U have bought up areas we, without U City being able to. And I don't begrudge it. I mean, it's sort of like that space where the Quick Trip is now going.
Supermarket used to be.
Yeah, that's where Pete's used to be.
Before
they
moved up to other buildings. I'd be grudged because they're not a good partner with these buildings.
Well, that is true.
Yes. But that aside, we can control the things we can, right? So I think that I don't know that there are any parks that we're missing on this, let me just be clear.
Yeah.
And the Ackert Park redevelopment at least sort of created some more play space. Not really.
Mm-hmm.
But at least it's more walkable now than it was.
That's nice.
And the next area that's probably we've been talking about is the one that's not Kingsland Park, not Shelley Welch Park, but the one, the bigger one, where they're talking about putting
Metcalf.
And part of it is that the city's natural boundary tapers there, so it's narrower, and that's probably one of the closer ones to Forest Park. So in terms of park service for residents as a whole, they don't really care about city boundaries.
How about access to our existing parks? Have you all heard anything about certain parks being difficult to access for residents, like being unsafe to access? I mean, I think about maybe Heeman Park, like crossing Olive to get to Heeman Park could be unsafe if you're coming from the other side of Olive. I don't know. Just another question that I'm thinking
of. Short of building a pedestrian bridge or...
More stoplights.
Or one of those more significant crosswalks, but
mm-hmm.
I'll say... People don't seem to care where a crosswalk is. They cross wherever they want, so I think it might not be...
Well, part of it is there's the turn lane. So you can cross partway over and then wait, and then it's not that dangerous. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, but...
It's not that hard to cross.
In terms of, yeah.
If it's me, I'm going to say I come St. Charles Rock Road between Lucas and Hunt and Pennsylvania almost every day, and they've done extensive work and made a lot of crosswalks, and I've never seen anybody walking.
Yep.
I mean, I'm talking, I mean, gorgeous painted and signs and whatever, and nobody walks.
Yeah, no, I mean, I will definitely say people cross Olive wherever they want.
No.
So,
yeah.
I mean, there is a crosswalk on the corner if you want a crosswalk. If you feel like, okay, I want to cross where there's a crosswalk down there.
Because they come right across here. They come right across from coming from right out here across.
But you can do it.
Well, I'll also say, in terms of accessible, has another implication for me is it accessible to people that have different physical abilities?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a worthy question, depending on what park you're talking about. Like, the woods? No, it's not. It would be great if it was, but I don't think that's feasible for the type of space that it was.
Right.
So,
playgrounds are things that we've looked at. I mean, Heeman Park does not currently have an ADA accessible playground, but that's on the list of things that we want to get done. So yes, I mean, there's certainly accessibility issues. There's also just aging infrastructure within most of the parks that needs to be on some kind of maintenance item. If you look at Hema Park right now, the
it's a mess.
It is, and I was there when the poor lady sat down on one end of that wood thing and it broke underneath her.
Which part?
Just up by Jack Buckfield, and she just sat down at the end of by the parking lot, and it just went crash.
Oh, all the supports for the logs are shot.
And those were a good idea 50 years ago when they were put in.
And they tried to replace them a few years ago, right?
Some of them, yeah.
Some of them, but they're almost to the point that they're dangerous because
they're
so dirty today.
Yeah.
Kind of like those railroad type things.
They are telephone poles.
Yeah.
And then they sit on a grooved. Telephone pole.
Yeah.
Okay. We're thinking about putting them down, and what I'm seeing is the shaft they're on, the actual stem is totally rotted.
Yeah.
So now these logs are starting to fall to the ground. Some are on the ground. Half of them are on the ground. It's
but there's little things like that. I mean, older infrastructure just has to be replaced. But
is that on our list of stuff?
Of stuff to do? I thought that was part of the parking. In Hema Park, but
yeah,
I could be wrong about
it's
that.
Right around the parking lot, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's what it's supposed to designate as that whole walk or drive area. So, anything else we can help you with input?
This was helpful. I think it's a good point about maybe setting up a meeting where we can have multiple stakeholders. You know, like I don't know if it's we invite the commission that. Chairs of each commission to a meeting,
whoever's
or exactly how it would work. You know, we don't want it to get too big to the point where it's hard to have a group conversation, but we could think about a way to do that productively. Yeah.
Maybe two people from the commissions.
Two people.
And as far as more parks, I think we all love parks. That's why
yeah.
we're here.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
if we could have more parks, that's great, but we just don't want to have parks that we can't maintain. That's
yeah.
the only, that would be my only concern.
That was what I was going to say in summary. Don't walk away from this thinking we don't want more parks.
We,
like, we all want more
great.
Parks,
yeah.
but
yeah.
we would need the money to
exactly.
maintain them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know what it takes a little bit.
Right. So, I mean, if the priorities become let's make more parks, then just make sure we get more money in order to make
I'll
that
also
happen.
Say that I don't think once we establish a place in the park, it can be unestablished as a park, it's probably harder to do that. So,
mm-hmm. you have to do it thoughtfully.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I might have some questions
on
the other piece I might ask you later if you don't mind staying.
Yeah, of course.
I won't take much of your time because I know you've been spending a lot of evenings going to all these fun meetings.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would love to hear your questions. Thank you.
The only thing I see when you talk access is like Kaufman, they're parking on the streets of the middle and they park, have to park. The parking lots are not
There's
sufficient.
No parking.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's no parking.
Yeah.
And as I say, Hema is a nice park with no parking.
Yeah.
There really isn't a lot of parking over there.
That's the way it is with a number of our parks because
mm-hmm.
I watched the Kaufman and
there's
imagine
parking lot
Metcalf.
By the tennis court?
Yeah, they hold eight cars.
Right.
But there's on-street parking. It's not like it's a busy street.
But it's according to what time you go. That's what I would always tell people, Miller Park, oh, well, we want to have a blah, blah. But now you're subject to park in front of my driveway, you know, type thing.
Yeah. No, you don't, because there's that whole side of the park where there's no driveway. Because you're on the other side, you're just next to the park. And then there's a parking lot up by the, for Miller, there's a parking lot up by the gazebos, and then there's a parking lot all on the side of North and South. There's a lot of parking at Miller. In fact, they just, I didn't mention this in my report, but they just improved a sidewalk over there so that it comes up near the one parking lot over by the gazebos, and then it comes up and it connects up to the walking path. They just finished it, I think. It looks really nice.
I think
so.
The only point is there's concern because we have talked Kingsland parking and some other things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Kingsland.
We're up to
having
all this land
yeah.
and develop parks. We need to develop.
Well, the more parking you put
parking.
In, though, that's also more concrete and that's bad for flooding. So don't put in parking you don't need.
There's also five parks we can't put more parking in. And just absolutely cannot because of the way that the money works.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. let's go ahead and move on to commission comments. I guess that was sort of where we just were. Commission comments.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, please do.
Sue asked for updates on a number of items. The item that I was hoping for an update on is the pool. I'm getting lots of questions about if the pool's opening, when the pool's opening, what's the plan with the pool, does anybody know? Obviously, we just toured the building, etc., but...
Maybe we could just ask, and this be added to the next agenda, a FEMA update, if any, in general on flooding.
Yeah. And specifically,
with the understanding that that process is outside of your control, but that progress is still happening.
Oh, I don't. I'm not.
No.
I mean, we as citizens are being asked questions. Like, I can't tell you the number of places I go that I am asked, "Will the pool be opening on Memorial Day?"
Yeah, and our meeting next May.
But there's no answer to that question.
No.
And I don't know what we're supposed to do as commission members when we're asked the question. And I mean, I emailed out the whole commission, including Darren, and asked for an update after the last meeting, and I've never gotten one. So how do I go about obtaining an update so that I can communicate it to people?
Can I hypothesize that it's not going to be open by Memorial Day?
Oh, I've already hypothesized
that's what I'm saying.
Well, just to say,
we know when it's not going to open, the day that it usually opens.
Correct.
Other than that, undetermined.
So that's our messaging.
I think it has to be until we get something that's a little more clean from the people that are working to get it open.
Then I will just tell all my people to reach out to their council people.
And I'm not going to say anything because I'm being taped. But I can't tell
you
anything.
You
want
to sign it to us?
I mean, I can probably write it on the back. I can't tell. I know nothing.
I will just tell everybody to contact their city council people. I don't think they have. I mean, well, where are we supposed to go as citizens?
I will say that... We're,
I make a motion we adjourn the meeting.
Great. I'm good.
She was
done with her comments.
No.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Turn off the table.